To do that, we got to study, right? So turn your Bible with me to Romans 13:8. Keep your finger there, and then turn to the Luke chapter 10, verse 25. If you've been born again Christian and you've been attending church for some time, you know that the second most important commandment from God. What would that be? Okay, that is following the first most important thing. That is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and all your body. And there's some different version way to say it. The second most important thing is, what would that be? Love your neighbors as what? As yourself, exactly. That originates from Leviticus. We also remember the conversation between Jesus and self-righteous lawyer about the neighbor. And that's where we're going to go to the Luke chapter 10. When the Jesus said about the neighbor, and he asked snotty question, so, and who is my neighbor? Of course, that question brought that famous parable, Good Samaritan, by Jesus, to end that question. Let's go there. Chapter 10 of Book of Luke, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. See, that's the reason, testing him, testing Jesus. Saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit the eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Verse 28. And he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, and said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? We will stop there and let's pray. Heavenly Father, because of your loving kindness is better than our life, our lips shall praise you and magnify you. Thus we will bless you while we live. In this year we have faced many difficulties. And we believe there is coming, more to come. But the only reason why we could come through is you. You gave us the hope and the strength in our Lord Jesus. You have been our help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, we will rejoice. As we prepare our heart to receive your instruction of loving our neighbors, let our desire to be aligned with yours and obey you in every way. Heavenly Father, we also pray for our President and President-elect Obama's salvation and our troop safety and the law enforcement personnel and firefighters, fighters around this community. We're asking you to protect them. And those who don't know you may come to know you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8, let's go back to the Romans 13:8. Now, this is going to be a kind of series within the expository study. We're going to dwell in the verse 8, chapter 13, 8 through 10 for about 4 weeks. And you're wondering, okay, how can you extend the three verses in 4 weeks? Well, it's not that difficult because I'm going to go all over anyway. See, first of all, we need to define the word neighbor. I look at the dictionary. It says it is a person who lives near another. In other words, I can safely say everyone else except me. That means you, all of you are my neighbor, including my wife. And somebody, not only the person who lives nearby, closest, also furthermost geographically. The other person on the other side of the world is also my neighbor. That means we have to love everyone as ourselves. It's a big, tall order that God is giving to us. So let's go to the verse 8 of chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. This morning, I believe that the Lord is going to speak to us about the marriage the way He designed, and we need to learn about it carefully. Now, some of you guys are not married. Some of you guys are single. Someday you'll marry, or maybe not. But you can apply this to other way, other direction, and it still works for you. Over half of marriage in America end up in divorce court. Over half. The last I heard was 56%. And the Christian couple's divorce rate is not much less. That is a really sad story. It was a common for us to meet people who've been married for 20 years, and we didn't think twice about it. Nowadays, if you see somebody who's been married 20 years, we kind of have a mixed feeling. Is it like, how did you stay together for such a long time? Or we have actual admiration. The old Arab proverb says that marriage starts with prince kissing an angel and end up with a bald man looking across a fat lady. Of course, there is the Greek ancient philosopher Socrates. He said this, by all means, get married. If you get a good wife, twice you will be blessed. But if you have a bad wife, you will be a philosopher. Now, Socrates was a very good philosopher, right? So we can tell what kind of wife he had. Some say that marriage is like a fly on the screen door. The one on the outside wants to get in, the one inside wants to get out. And also, I'm sure you heard that a person said that marriage is like a three-ring circus. Engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffer ring. I officiate many weddings so far. As I officiate, and when I look at the groom and bride, there is a sparkle in their eyes, their heart is pumping, and they're excited about the great expectation in their new life. And that's great, rightly so. Now, however, the brutal reality comes in within a few months, if not sooner. And some even wonder if they married the right person. We need to ask the originator of the marriage, our God, about what we can expect and what we need to do in the marriage. Some of you have been married for a long time. Karen and I have been together, we've been married for almost 28 years. Was it all sweet? No, I almost got kicked out of the house because I was dumb and stupid. She was gracious to keep me around. A lot of times, marriage is difficult. Let me put it this way. There are times I don't agree with myself. How do you expect you to agree that two different people agree with each other all the time? You cannot. There where love, true love, comes in. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, please. You can keep your finger out of from the Romans, go to Genesis chapter 2. The reason why we go to the chapter 2 of Genesis is because that's where the first wedding happened. Chapter 2, verse 18, please. Now we're going to look at the God's design for marriage. And the verse 18, find Genesis, not that difficult, first book. If you went to the index, you went too far. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him helper comparable to him. Whenever God created things, and during the last 5 days, during the creation time, God said, this is good, it's good, it's good. And when he created man, he said, it's not good. So he came up with a helper, the woman. The marriage is ordained by God. Remember the last 2 weeks ago, I said that there's a three institution God ordained. First one is family, marriage, starting with the marriage, and followed by government. Third thing is church. So where the marriage is ordained by God, and it's not some smart marketing strategies that a person pulled off. It's initiated by God. It is very close to his heart. If you have any doubt, let's remember this three things. First wedding, as I said before, first wedding happened in the at the time of creation. And second thing that we have to remember about wedding is the first miracle of Jesus Christ happened, turning the water into wine in the Jewish wedding ceremony. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the last things you will find in the book of Revelation is the marriage supper of the Lamb. So in other words, it's starting with the marriage and end with the marriage. Let's go down to the few verses. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused on the line deep sleep. Deep sleep. To fall on Adam, and he slept. On the line from the he took all the way to the end of verse 22, please. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God has taken from man, he made into the woman. He brought her to man. Verse 23. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam fell asleep while God is creating woman. He rested. See, he didn't chase after some nice looking female chimpanzee. He rested in God. A lot of times, as you know, that I was involved in the prison ministry. When they get out of prison, the first thing they can think about is they got to find a woman. Or some of the single people, they think all they can think about is getting married. Or the single ladies thinking about getting married. Do I believe that God has a choice person for that person? Yeah, I do believe that. They need to wait upon God. They need to rest in God. While they rest in God, they believe in, trust that God will bring that person to them, they will find the right person. What if this person said, I'm going to go find this person. What if he goes against God's will and marry this person? Will God condemn them? Not necessarily. But here is the catch. If that family, if they choose to follow God, God will still bless that marriage. You understand that? So it is important for the person, a born-again Christian, to marry a born-again Christian. That is mandatory. If you're looking for some other person with a different religion and different faith, you are asking for major trouble. And not only that, you are going against the word of God. Remember, 2 Corinthians says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That applies there. Even the dating applies there. I ask you to underline that he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God has taken from man, he made it into the woman, he brought her to the man. What is the reason? What is the reason God created and took the rib out of man's side? Why not from the head? Why not from the feet? The reason why God did that is because God didn't make her out of his head so that she can rule over him. Or God didn't create a woman out of his feet so that she can be trampled over. God created a woman out of his side so she can be equaled with him. God created a woman out of man's under his arm so she can be protected. And God created a woman close to his heart so she can be loved. Three things. Woman need to be protected by man. Woman need to be loved by man. And woman is equal with God, with man. Let's move down to verse 24. Okay, guys, wake up. Some of you guys doing this. Don't think that I cannot see you. Can you see my closed eyes? That means I can see your closed eyes as well. Next person falling asleep, I'm going to make you stand up, okay? Therefore, number one, a man shall leave his father and mother. Number two, be joined to his wife. And number three, they shall become one flesh. Number four, they are both naked, and man and his wife were not shamed. Here's a four timeless principles that will give strength to the marriage. First thing I find is severance. Severance. Man shall leave his father and mother. Without anybody, without any other people in the marriage, including his and her parents, marriage between husband and wife. Marriage is between husband and wife. The in-laws must not be in the marriage equation. Okay? You know, you all heard, in-laws and outhouse must be away from your home. I'm sure that Eve was glad that her cooking does not have to be compared with Adam's mother's cooking, since there's no Adam's mom. And I'm sure that Adam was glad that he didn't have to listen to Eve talking about her last boyfriend. Second thing I find is a permanence. Permanence. Be joined to his wife. Be joined to his wife. No use leaving the parents unless husband and wife cleave to one another. The word cleave defines as adhere to stick to be attached by some strong tie. The verb demands action from both sides, not just one side. It cannot be one side love. The marriage requires both sides. Many of you remember and can recite the portion of your marriage vow. Let's put that up, please, marriage vow. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish you, as Jesus Christ so loved the church, and to wash you with the word, till death do us part. Till death do us part. A lot of people, many people, do not text this phrase, death to us part. Third thing we need to hear here is unity. They shall become one flesh. They shall become one flesh. It's a remarkable phrase, baffled the theologians. Because it's easy for us to think that this is some only to do with the physical side. No, that's not true. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. Are you guys too hot? Too cold? You don't care? Just fine? Wow, that's the first time. Everybody agree? Unity. Hey, let it go, guys, EJs. Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. It's pretty much what we read. And two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Not only Christ and the church, man and wife need to leave and cleave and join together as one flesh. To understand this practice element, and we must rule out a few things. Polygamy, adultery, promiscuity, and homosexuality must be ruled out from the marriage. Does it mean the person who was promiscuous before the marriage, they cannot have a unity with the spouse when they get married? To be honest with you, probably they will have a hard time because of past memory. However, if that person comes to God and ask God to forgive that whatever happened before the marriage, all things are possible with God. And it is more, God will make all things new. It is more than a physical meaning. It's a spiritual meaning. And some of the ladies would say, well, I've been involved with some other person before my marriage. God can wipe away from your heart. You can start brand new. Guys, the same thing. Some preachers will call it spiritual virgin. It can happen. So whatever happened before, that doesn't mean a thing to God. If you ask God for his forgiveness. Fourth element is intimacy. They are both naked. The man and his wife were not shamed. The intimacy between husband and wife goes beyond knowing each other physically, but it goes to the tender and intimate and personal knowledge. The living and cleaving and unity, knowing each other, result in the new identity in which the two individuals merge into one. One in mind, one in heart, and one in body, one in spirit. That's why divorce is such has a devastating effect. Don't ever think that if you're going through difficulty in your marriage, don't ever think that, well, I just go through a divorce, I'll start brand new. Guess what? If you leave that marriage, go to another marriage, you're carrying the baggage. It just makes the matter worse. Apostle Paul, who wrote about this marriage concept, great, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 32. You might want to read that portion. Before he gave that instruction what to do as a husband and wife, he gave us the most important instruction in verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18, please. It starts with, and do not be drunk with wine in which there is a dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That means that your individual relationship with Jesus Christ must be foremost. Your individual relationship with it should be foremost. Even before the relationship with one another in your marriage. Without it, your marriage will suffer. Folks, if your marriage is a stale and humdrum, you need to go to God in prayer together. The emphasis is on together. And get into the Word of God together. and pray together. And then you start to please the other person with everything you have. With everything you have. And lifting each other to the Lord. And you will be surprised how much your love comes back alive. Marriage is not a contract that you can sign like in a business world. There's a tremendous difference between marriage and the contract you sign. It is covenant between the husband and wife and God as a witness. Here are the difference. The covenant is based on the trust between the parties. Contract is based on the distrust. That's why we have to sign so many times before you get the loan for the house or car. As a matter of fact, Karen and I just refinanced our home, the mortgage. I think, how many did we sign? About 30, 40 times. And I didn't even know half, majority of the time, I didn't know what I was signing. Covenant is based on unlimited responsibility. Unlimited responsibility. But the contract is based on limited liability. Covenant cannot be broken if the new circumstance occurred. In other words, just because you found somebody else and say, okay, sayonara, I'm out of here, you cannot do that. Contract can be void by mutual consent. Folks, the love is active power we control with our will. Let me say this one more time. Everybody pay attention, please. Love is active power we can control with our will. That's why I don't buy the story that when the people tell me we no longer love each other. Well, then love back again. You start to love each other because you choose to love one another. The reason why you don't love each other because you don't actively engage with one another. If they truly want to rekindle their marriage, their life, their love, it can start again with the active force. Some couples want me to counsel them for their crumbling marriage. What they really want is for me to give them my blessing for their divorce. They want. First of all, it ain't going to happen unless they have biblical ground to divorce. A lot of times people come to church and they're looking for the counsel, marriage counseling. They are looking for way out of their marriage. They're onslaught against marriage, especially Christian marriage in this world. And if we are not careful, we can easily fall into one of the divorce statistics. And here's the three methods to protect your marriage. Number one, having right priority in our lives. Having right priority in our lives. The priority in our lives should be starting with God first, your spouse, and then thirdly, your children, and then followed by other people and whatever. Did you notice there's somebody I didn't mention? Who would that be? Ourselves. We are the last one. You take care of God first, then your wife, your spouse, and everyone else. Then you last. And me last. Everyone else should come before ourselves, and whether it's our desire to rise up within a corporate ladder, or one of your fancy lifelong dreams, or your sports, whatever that is, that should come after your spouse, after your God. There are so many people, I've seen so many people who are sacrificing their spouse for the sake of what they want. That's why marriage end up in divorce court. I said this before, and whenever I do the marriage counseling, I say this to many times, to everyone. How many of you guys heard the marriage is 50-50? How many of you guys heard that 50-50? That's why it end up in the divorce court. It's 100% zero. You give 100% to your spouse and expect nothing, then their marriage thrives. Matthew 19:6, please. Are you guys with me? Are you guys still sleeping? Yeah? Still sleeping? Stay with me, okay? This is very important. Chapter 19, verse 6. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Not your desire, not your ambition in the workplace. Selfish individuality leading to the separateness between husband and wife can be witnessed all around. And that's why they end up in the divorce court. Third element we need to use to protect our marriage is keeping marriage bed pure. Keeping marriage bed pure. It's a pretty much self-explanatory. It used to be the mostly guys' problem. Guys who are looking for some excitement with some other woman other than their spouse. But not anymore. Because of free casual sex, which is packaged by the sex-driven man and duped woman, now the wives don't think twice about having an adulterous relationship with other men than their husband. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13:4. Philemon's, Hebrews, and James, chapter 13. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. We often call the marriage holy matrimony. Why? Because God honors it. When we break the marriage we are in, we are dishonoring God. Okay? It's not just breaking the marriage, we are dishonoring God. Whether it's actual physical adultery or looking at the porno magazines, I don't know, guys, where you are spiritually for this one. You might have a couple of stacks in somewhere in your garage or carport or wherever you're hiding. If you do, God knows where they are. Take it out and burn it. Don't give it to somebody else. It's like if you give it to somebody else, you're handing out the disease to somebody else. Or you're watching some nudity in the movies, or visiting in a porno site. Nowadays, ladies do the same thing. You'll be surprised how many ladies are doing it. All of that must be removed from your marriage. Your marriage heart must be pure. It's for the purity's sake. Third element is never, never talk bad about your spouse in front of anybody, not even a joke. When I said talk bad, it's belittling that person or embarrassing that person. You know, I've seen one too many husbands or wives talking about their spouse literally in such a way that belittling them and embarrassing them. Without thinking, I've done that before, and I have to ask my wife for forgiveness. Of course, she pointed out first. And I'm in deep doo-doo, right? That is not a good thing. You might think it's funny to talk about how heavy that person, your spouse is, or how baldy that person is, or wrinkly that person is. You may think it's funny, but it's not funny for that person. So do not belittle your spouse in front of anyone, and don't even joke about it. You may not see the immediate result, but that person, your spouse, will remember your unkind word. It will come back alive someday. One more thing, never compare your spouse with some other person's spouse in a negative way. Never, never compare, unless you have a death wish. Okay? If you want to die quickly, by all means, go for it. Do it a couple more times. And if this kind of thing happens, you make a comparison with somebody else's wives and husband, and you got in trouble, don't look at me because I will tell you, I told you so. Okay? Don't compare your spouse with someone else. Let's make an application. This is not original with me. It's so good, so I stole it from this Dr. Edward, who wrote the book, The Love Life. Do we have that book in the bookstore, Love Life? We'll get a couple of them at least. I highly recommend this book, Love Life by Dr. Edward. If your marriage is good, this book will enhance it. If your marriage is shaky, this book will strengthen your marriage. I said that give your spouse the best, B-E-S-T. B stands for bless each other. Bless each other. Bless your spouse with your word constantly from your heart. I'm not asking you to lie. Okay? I'm not asking you to lie to say something good. But look for something good in your spouse. We can easily find bad things. My wife can find bad things about me, and it requires a scroll to write about all the bad things that I do. But she chooses to look for something good in me. You need to look for something good in your spouse. And you need to mention. Don't say, well, she knows I love her. No, don't say that. Let her know, let him know that you appreciate it. You bless that person with your word. And praise your spouse for the work she does or work he does. And mention about the apparel and the makeup she's putting on. And her hair. Have you ever seen one of those Geico commercials? I think I mentioned this before. Majority of the time, the Geico commercials are stupid, right? You have no idea what they're doing. There's one commercial. This woman, wife walked into the room and standing in front of this mirror, and she said, "Honey, do I look fat?" Over the shoulder, and the husband sitting on the kitchen table looking at the newspaper, "Uh-huh, you betcha." I thought, you're going to be so dead tonight. We need to bless each other. Second thing that I find, E stands for edify each other. Edify each other. Edify means build up, right? Build up your spouse with the word and to other people. That's the opposite of the belittling the other person and talk bad about your spouse, right? Tell others how you are blessed to have your spouse and pray for your spouse to the Lord what the Lord wants her or him to be. Not what you want. But expect the Lord to work on you first. It can be painful, rather painful, but it's worth it. Now, S stands for share with each other. Share with each other. Share your spouse's desire with as yours. And when I said share your desire, and when I share it with each other, you're thinking, the guy's thinking, okay, that means my wife should watch an NFL football game 8 hours straight after the service. No, that's not what I meant. You share her desire, ladies. You share his desires. Not your own. but the other person's. While you share the other person's desire, we get to know that person. At the beginning of this teaching, I said, I was stupid and jerk, and now I'm married. You know why? As you guys know, I like guns, right? During our first part of the marriage, when my wife wanted to talk about house, pretty soon that conversation ended up in guns. She talked about our daughter Michelle. Guess where the conversation ended up? Guns. She talked about the world's current event. It ended up in guns. There's nothing to talk about for her to me. So the conversation stopped. I've never been unfaithful to my wife. I don't know any other woman except her. But I was a plain, stupid idiot. Because my heart was now aligned with her. I didn't share anything with her in common. Don't be an idiot like me. I was. I'm doing better. So here's a tip for you guys. When your wife talks to you, you put down your newspaper. Newspaper will stay there. It will come. You can come back to that. Your movie, whatever that is on TV, it can be stopped and wait for you. Ladies, you're not off the hook, okay? Whatever you're doing, when your husband talk to you, you stop. Give full attention. You'll be surprised what kind of love sparks in there when you give a full attention to one another. The last one is to touch each other. And you guys, the guys think, oh yeah, I get that. I have that thing down. I'm not talking about sexual touching. I'm talking about physical gesture to ensure, to affirm your love to your spouse. This goes for the ladies as well. I'm talking about winking at your spouse across the room, smiling at her or him. And when you pass by, squeezing her hand or squeezing his shoulder, quick peck on their cheek, his cheek or her cheek. Let your spouse know that you care, you love. Physically. Okay? I know that we will not achieve perfection in our marriage through these short studies. But if you follow what I just told you guys, your love will come back. It will be no longer stale. It will be no longer humdrum. Don't say that, well, we've been living together, we've been married together for 30-some years or 20-some years or 10-some years, so it will go on continuously. Let me give you this quick tip for how to break the marriage. Okay? How to break the marriage? Do nothing. Do absolutely nothing. Your marriage will be broken in a matter of a few months. If you don't do anything, you don't care about your spouse, your marriage will be broken. Your marriage needs to be worked on constantly. It takes effort. Any promise is hard to keep. Any promise is hard to keep. But the wedding vow, the marriage vow, is next to impossible to keep unless you depend on empowerment by the Holy Spirit. But when you keep your relationship with Jesus strong, being filled with the Holy Spirit, as Apostle Paul said, then your relationship with each other will grow stronger and stronger. But remember, the Bible says that apart from Jesus, we have no power at all to live a holy and loving life. Ladies, we're going to talk about you next week, so I'm going to see that probably a whole lot less ladies. But come back. And the guys probably will say, oh yeah, we got to go to church next Sunday. You're not off the hook, guys. We'll talk about you in following Sunday. Let's stand up and pray. If your marriage is suffering, God knows you are. You don't even have to raise your hand. If your marriage is suffering, today is that you're going to turn that marriage around. As I said before, there's onslaught and attacks against a Christian marriage. Don't take for granted your spouse, your godly spouse, is a gift from God. Okay? Remember what I said. If you don't do anything, your marriage will be broken. Let me pray for your marriage. And those who are going through a difficult time, through a divorce or whatever, relationship difficulty, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we lift up our marriages and our relationship with other people. We're asking your hand to be upon it. We're asking you to fill our heart with the Holy Spirit. Then we may be empowered by your Spirit. Then we may do the things in such a way that bring glory to you, to bring comfort and peace to our spouses. And any marriage that is shaky and stale and humdrum, we're asking you to bring back that love for one another. The commitment, the covenant back to one another. Remind us, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.